Welcome to another Carlo and Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
G'day, mate. I was just looking at the success that South Australia has in the sporting sphere. We're probably one of the least populous states in Australia, but we've had quite a few events, both on the world stage and local events. And recently, Jess Trengrove finished ninth in the world champs for the marathon, which is the best finish by a South Australian, and she did it in 2:28.59. How would you like to run that time for a marathon?
I would love to just be able to run a marathon. I know it's a goal for a lot of people, I'm always in awe of marathon runners, because if you do a little bit of running, even if you run 5K or something, you understand if you're running 42 kilometres in 2 hours, 28 minutes, I would struggle to do that on my bike. In fact, sometimes when I ride up on the Bobridge track, I think I'm going pretty well. Then I look at my average sort of speed and it's similar to a marathon runner. So they're pretty, and I think that's the thing. You know, when we watch all the world champs and we watch like the 100 metres, Gatlin beat, so on, Usain Bolt, and everyone gets excited. But these guys are running. The pace that they can hold for that period of time is just crazy.
Oh, it's incredible. It really is. It's you wouldn't think it's possible, but it's not going to be too long where the men actually break 2 hours. They're that close.
Very close. I think it's only a couple of minutes away. Mm. And the women, of course, are getting faster and faster. And over that period of time, they've had opportunity to run marathons, and they're really training at that level now. So the gap is getting closer. And Jess, you know, great young South Australian athlete, so it's good to see track and field in South Australia back in the news.
She must have good genes, because, of course, her brother Jack is was captain of Melbourne Footy Club.
Well, you know, when you have a second-rate sport like football, it's hard to compare to marathon running, but I understand that there's obviously a connection.
I think there's probably as many people do the fun runs as go to the footy to support it, mate.
Well, think City Bay, for example. I mean, that's a massive event here in South Australia, and I've done that a couple of times for whatever silly reason, but the amount of people that line up for that is crazy, and it's, again, been a big event for South Australia, and fun running, jogging, endurance running is great fitness for a lot of people.
Yeah, that started back in 1973. I remember as a kid, I ran in 74 and 78, and I remember in 78 a young cricket star went past me near the finish, but I decided, bugger that, and I sprinted past him, David Hooks.
You beat Hooksy.
Yeah.
Good job, well done.
But then again, he was a little bit better cricketer than I was.
Well, you can't win them all.
And while we talk about marathons, of course, Gawler's own Lisa O'Day, silver medalist at the Seoul Olympics in 1988.
Yeah, another great athlete, lovely lady. I remember coming out here as a little athlete doing a little athletics at Gawler, and in fact, her mum and dad were officiating.
Shirley and Martin, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's always been a household name in track and field in South Australia, and again, a great international athlete.
Of course, when Lisa first got married, Lisa Martin, they used to have the Lisa Martin handicap at the Gawler show, which they give you your handicap from the Tour of Gawler Fun Run. So Gawler was a hotbed of running.
Do they still have that?
No, unfortunately.
They actually got new running up at Clonley Park at the moment. Every Sunday you can go up there and do a 5K timed run.
Okay.
So maybe they bring it. And I remember seeing people running around Gawler. It wasn't that many years ago where they must...
No, it wasn't.
So maybe it hasn't been long since that stopped.
The old Gawler Athletic Club used to run it, and then the Elizabeth Club took it over, but it's waned over the last 2 or 3 years.
We've got to get it back out there.
Oh, absolutely. And while we're talking about sort of sporting events, I mean, oh, haven't we had so many? Obviously, there's the Test cricket, the annual Test cricket that we have here at Adelaide Oval. We had the first night Test last year. And, of course, there's our beloved South Australian stateside, who haven't won since 95, 96, when a Gawler lad, Darren Lehman, was playing.
Maybe that's it. We need more people from Gawler in these teams. But you think, you say the 90s, but if you think back to the 90s, Thunderbirds?
Yep.
36ers?
Yes.
Crows.
Yes.
It was like that mid-90s to late 90s seemed to be a golden era for South Australian sport.
It was unbelievable. And of course, I think it was on the back of the old Grand Prix that we held in Adelaide from 85 to about 95, and the Vics pinched it off of us, and I think that sort of motivated our other sporting teams.
Grand Prix was a great event. Did you ever go?
Yes, I actually went to the first one when Alan Jones was competing. I got some lovely photos that I can look back on now and think, wow, Adelaide actually held that event.
I remember going once, I got lucky enough to get into one of those corporate boxes right on the chicane. And I'm into motorsports. I love my motorsports. In fact, later this month, I'm going up to Mildura for the Nostalgia Drag. So there's another big sporting event. But I was out there on the balcony watching, and I'm thinking, I was watching the cars fly by. I'm loving this. And I turn around. I was the only one on the balcony. I look back into the corporate box, and no one was really interested in the event. It was, but as a social thing, it was massive. So I think that's what Formula One is. It is a great sporting event for the purists, but I think it also brings a lot of people into motorsports just because of the atmosphere and the fun and the social side of it.
I'll tell you another couple of experiences I had with the Grand Prix is I used to be a fun runner, and they held a couple of fun runs around the track. And I remember the first year they did it, you had to run, I think it was twice around the track or something, and there was they herded us in this area. And of course, the heat that was coming off of the asphalt, and we're standing there, and everyone's sweating like pigs, and then they set us out for a run.
It is hot then, like Clipsal now, obviously in March, and that's one of the things that the drivers have to deal with. In fact, you've watched the last couple of years, where their wetsuits have failed, or their cold suits have failed. These guys come out of these cars, and they're absolutely spent. So obviously, that the heat coming off the tracks is massive for the cars. And you guys obviously travelling a little bit slower than the Formula One cars, but felt the same thing.
Well, a little bit, but you know, let's talk a little bit about horse racing. Now, the Adelaide Cup used to be held in May, and nowadays it's March, and obviously it's not a patch on the Melbourne Cup, but it's our special day. And I know Black Caviar come and raced here twice, and it's probably one of my biggest regrets that I wasn't able to witness her live. And I did a bit of research, and I found out that Far Lap actually raced here as well at Morphettville.
What year was that?
Would have been about 1930.
So probably the two most famous horses in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. Far Lap sort of is obviously like your Dom Bradman of horse racing, and Black Caviar sort of caught everyone's imagination, even if, like, I'm not really a racing fan, but it really caught my imagination. 26 straight wins.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's interesting. We think of, like, human athletes, but, you know, you think when you actually see those horses live and you think about the training they do, they're great athletes, animal athletes.
When we were talking a little bit, we touched on the fact that the Crows had won in 97-98. AFL football come to town in 91 at Football Park, and with the redevelopment of Adelaide Oval, went there about 3 years ago, and the Crows won those two against St Kilda and North Melbourne in 97-98. Port Power came in 97, they won in 2004, and they were in another grand final, 2007 against Geelong, and they lost by a record 119 points.
I think you've got to remember the good things, Rob. We, you know, Port Power are great. Both of our teams are doing really well this season. And maybe Crows have got a great chance. I know, talking to some Crow supporters today, they're getting a bit nervous. They don't want to talk about it too much. It's the old cliche, one game at a time. And Port have been having a pretty good year. They're not quite winning the games they need to, but there's still plenty of time. So it's possible. We're certainly going to see both of our teams in finals action this year, aren't we?
Yeah, it should be, although Port Power probably have that. They've got to win a few games to make sure of it, and there's still a chance to make the top four.
Yeah, they've got to have a good run home. But I think, you know, when Port are playing well, they're a great team to watch, as are the Crows. But let's hope they both make it and finish in the top four and get those chances in the finals.
Now, let's switch a little bit to basketball. Now, the 36ers, I mean, they've been going since the early 80s. They won a title in, I think it was 86, under Ken Cole. And then Phil Smyth took them to three titles, 98 and 99 and 2002. So that was a really good time for basketball in this state, late 90s, you know, early 2000s.
Certainly was. And, I mean, the 36ers have been around the mark a lot. You know, they've certainly got those premierships there, but they've also made the finals many, many times. So let's again hope, you know, the last season was pretty good, and the season prior to that, they had that great run home and made it through to the finals. So maybe this year again, they can be in the running. But basketball, I think, is, you know, I'm being biased here because I'm involved, but it is a really growing sport in Australia. And the standard, I think you're seeing people now coming into the NBL, and the WNBL, who are just great players. So people are looking at Australia now in this league as a great opportunity. So it's going to be, it's getting a harder and harder competition.
Just look at the recent Olympics, and Australia's been right up there.
Well, yeah, talk about, you know, punching above our weight as a state. But in the sport of basketball, you know, we are up there. You know, you're thinking now our women have been in the top couple in the world for probably over a decade.
Yeah.
And we often don't think of all the girls who have played in the WNBA, but we've had a lot more girls playing in WNBA than we have men, and that's obviously, again, grabs the attention of the media. But and our men are getting better and better, and we're seeing that again because on that world stage, our guys are performing at the top level, and now they're coming together as those in that Australian team. So I think the next few years are going to be great for basketball.
And how are the women going in the basketball here in South Australia?
How are we going?
Yeah.
The Lightning has struggled a bit, haven't they? I mean, financially, et cetera, and so on, but they're still hanging in there. And again, I say to our girls, you know, you're playing in a league that is one of the best in the world. You know, you're playing against, our girls are the best, some of the best players in the world, and they come back here and play in our local league and the Premier League and also in the, obviously, WNBL. And so, again, the Lightning are hanging in there. And I think we just need to get behind them and support them and give that opportunity for our girls to play.
And they've also won three or four titles as well.
They have, yeah. We've had great success. Yeah. When you think about people like Rachel Sporn, and great player.
Absolutely. And then the Thunderbirds, sort of, they've morphed into several different types of competition, but they've always been known as one of the top netball states in Australia.
Yeah, struggling a little bit at the moment, but, again, I think it's part of sport, isn't it? You can have your ups and downs, and the key is to keep working hard, and I'm sure that the Thunderbirds will be back this year.
Yeah, just sort of moving on a little bit closer to home, the Tour Down Under, that's been going for quite a few years now, and Gawler and the boss always seem to be part of it, whether a start or a finish or just a ride through.
It just captures everyone's imagination. I mean, cycling, it's a bit like we were talking about before with the jogging. I mean, you know, when the Tour Down Under is on, I get out on my motorbike, for example. I love going out for a ride, and that period of time, there are bikes everywhere. Nothing better than passing a cyclist going uphill on your motorbike, giving a little wave as you go by. But certainly catches imagination. You see the crowds that we have in Adelaide, but also the crowds that come into the regional areas. In the Barossa and Gawler areas, and as you travel around and watch them, great spectacle.
And of course, locally, we've got Jack Bowbridge, who's a silver medalist at the Olympics, and Callum and Miles Scottson, they've put their hand up in World Championships and Olympics as well. So, and they're next door neighbours. Jack and the brothers Scottson, they grew up living next door to each other.
Isn't it funny how things work? You think, is that like, do they actually feed off each other? Is it just a coincidence? Is it about opportunities? Is it seeing someone else achieve something and then just being part of it? But it often happens like that. You get a few people in the area that are involved in a particular sport, they have success, and of course they inspire others to do the same, or at least have a go.
And of course, with Gawler, we had the three-day event here, which started about 1954. I think it had something to do with the Queen's coronation, and that was before I was born. And eventually it sort of got taken over and became the Adelaide International 3-day in Adelaide. It's been there for a fair few years now.
Yeah, well, certainly I've been living in Gawler now for 17 years, and I know it hasn't been here in that time, but certainly when I take the dogs for a walk down the Dead Man's Pass, you can see the remnants of some of the jumps and up, you know, up the back roads through there, up towards Pot Road. So even as a kid, I remember that event being a big event and obviously being held at Gawler.
And just to go back to AFL footy, we cannot forget that the Adelaide Crows were in the women's competition this year and they won the inaugural title.
Again, I mean, that has, women's AFL has captured imagination, hasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I know, like, you think about, there's just more and more girls now interested in playing football. We see them all the time at school. It's really a growing opportunity. I mean, I know there's been women's leagues for a long period of time, and so now it's good to see them getting some recognition and getting out there on the big stage.
And just quickly to soccer, Adelaide United obviously have had a little bit of success. They won their first title last year. They beat Western Sydney Wanderers, Adelaide Oval, 3-1. Having those games at Adelaide Oval, the big events, they also played Liverpool. They lost 2-0 to Liverpool, but having those big soccer events at Adelaide Oval has really boosted that particular sport.
I think it just shows that the love people have for soccer in Australia. I mean, again, and you know, that season, I think, was it six? Did they lose the first six games? Is that right? When they can, is that?
Yeah, eight games. They did not win in the first eight games.
To come back, I mean, and again, that's just an amazing story in itself to be in that position and then come back and win the actual championship. But Adelaide, I mean, I think Adelaide Oval has been. I was just coming down to Adelaide the other day. I don't go in there that often. I had to go in for a conference for work. And just coming down past the hospital and seeing the river and seeing the oval and the stadium and like looking up into sort of Adelaide itself, it really is. I thought, wow, this is actually a beautiful city.
Yes.
And sometimes I think when you're in your own place, you sort of take things for granted. But just coming down there, I could just had a bit of time to have a look, and I thought, wow, Adelaide actually right now in this spot, there's so much going on. And it really looked beautiful.
And they've kept the old scoreboard, and they've kept the view of the cathedral in the background, and they've kept enough of the past to enhance the historic nature of it.
I think they've done a great, it is a great place to be, and I've been there to footy a few times, and went there actually to watch Port knock off Richmond in the final a couple of seasons ago, and that was a great game, great atmosphere, and a really good venue.
Yeah, well, the Bay Sheffield Sprint, which is often held down at Moseley Square at Glenelg, it actually had a couple of years it was at Adelaide Oval too.
Was that in the recent history?
Well, it was early 2000s. I know because my son Sam was in the under 15 event, so and he was born in 1990, so then about 2004.
Yeah, but another great event, isn't it? And that sort of just starts, gets the year going. I mean, it's, again, one of those things, a bit like those professional events. They don't get a lot of sort of publicity, but the big events like the Bay Chef and like the Stool Gift, they capture, again, you see them on, all of a sudden, they sort of earmark certain parts of the year.
But I must admit that Moseley Square, having it down there in that little amphitheatre, the way it's sort of set up is a better atmosphere because all the people have to gather around it, and it makes it feel like there's a crowd of 30,000 there.
Well, I think it sort of takes it back to, you think of the history of professional running, and you sort of think it takes it back to that. It really is, and that it's a small place, it's a bit more personal, on the grass, you know, sort of get rid of all the technology, and that's what I like about it. It's just different than being in a really big stadium with your different synthetic tracks and so on, and just being out there in the grass and watching those guys run is a different experience.
And of course, with the mooted changes to Memorial Drive Tennis, you know, they've had the World Tennis Challenge there, and of course our own Leighton Hewitt has been a star over the last 20-odd years, so tennis is big in this state too.
It is. We really have great opportunity. We have great venues, good opportunity, and as you said at the beginning, we punch above our weight.
Absolutely. Now, we have to close this show in a minute, but we cannot forget baseball and softball. Now, softball, the last time that South Australia won a championship, their only championship was 1954, so come on, girls, let's win one. And baseball, we haven't won since 1980, although in the 60s, with guys like Great Rex and Mundy and Page and Wellington, we were a dominant force.
I'm going to take your word for that.
So that's it for another Colin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.